Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergence zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's live broadcast of Conscious Cool Chic Radio. Thank you for being here. I am your host, Molly McCord. I write and share often on my website, ConsciousCoolChic.com, which is where you can find a lot of different information, updates, all kinds of good stuff right there on the website. I am just coming back into the office from a little break, so I am getting my bearings as we get going here. And I'm really excited to have a wonderful returning guest on the program today. We're going to be speaking with intuitive astrologer and author Rick DiClemente, and he's going to share with us all that's going on the planet right now and how it's working with us personally. Perhaps you have heard Rick here before. We always have a great time and a great conversation, so I'm going to bring him on in just a minute. In the meantime, I want to give you quick updates that, as always, you can download any show at any time off of iTunes. If you want to download this program and take it with you on the go, listen in the car, listen as you're doing your housework or walking around, that's one of the great things about these podcasts is that you can listen to them at your own convenience. You can also follow the show on Blog Talk Radio. Just click the follow button on the show homepage and you will be sent an email message about the next upcoming broadcast. So that's a very convenient way to see what's coming up and what we're talking about next. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Rick. He has a wonderful new website. It's called starself.com. It's the same domain name, but the website itself has been redesigned. It is gorgeous. And right there is where you can reach out to Rick and see all the things he is offering and sharing. Rick is the author of The Exquisite Zodiac, a wonderful book explaining what is going on with each archetype in the zodiac. He pieces it together, explains the energies, does it brilliantly. It's a very unique type of book, and you don't have to know a ton about astrology. This is a way to understand it. Rick has been a practicing astrologer for 35 years now, and he's presented numerous lectures, classes, and workshops. What he is doing is so needed right now, and I'm always happy to have him on the show. Rick, welcome back. I'm delighted you're here.
Thank you for having me back. Hello, everybody.
Also, everyone, Rick has a new YouTube channel out that has some, I think you have over, is it like 20 videos now that you have available on your YouTube channel?
It's about a dozen. It took me about a year and a half to get the nerve. I was a filmmaker for 10 years. I had my own radio show for 28 months, and it still took me a year and a half. Get the internal, I don't know what you call it, the internal feel that I can do this visually, because you go from radio television is a real big jump because you can scratch your nose when you're on the radio.
Oh, absolutely.
Molly, I'm trying to find my pod. You know, all these podcasts, I'm still looking for my pod. I don't know where it is.
Okay. Well, I'm
an old-fashioned guy. Where's my pod? I wanted
well,
to
I'm
say,
glad you're
be, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, I'm glad you're here on mine.
Well, thank you. And I wanted to say to people, in case you haven't done this, Molly has one of the few telephone connections where the hold music is actually good. You know, I think these guys that write this hold music are suffering in some cave somewhere. Some of the music you hear when you're on hold. Oh, but yours is very pleasant. Glad to be back.
Well, I will take credit, although it's actually Blog Talk Radio's, but because it's a compliment, I'll take credit. I'll say
it's just part of
the wonderful experience that we're creating here as we share this information all over the globe. We want the full experience to be
very
quality.
Good. Well, very good, and I'm going to try real hard today to keep things up because, as people know, things are very dire. And, you know, I'm doing my very best after 35 years of this to keep a very professional poised look at what's going on, because astrology is a very easy energy to get panicked about, especially when you're new at it. When you're new at astrology, oh my God, Mars is going to hit me in a week. You spend the whole week just suffering. Oh my God, Mars is going to hit me. After a while, you just go with the flow. It's really not that big a deal. Matter of fact, I had Uranus hit my sun yesterday, which is extremely powerful. But I imagine people want to know what the heck is going on, because things are really stirring.
Absolutely. There is a lot going on. And I think on some level we could feel it, too, that the end of 2013 has a lot of energy just in the next 2.5 months, and then we go into 2014, and of course there's the fact that time just feels like it's flying by. The fact that we're even in October right now is appalling on some levels.
It's just unbelievable, and since I have not been writing newsletters as heartily as I once was, I lose some of my knowledge of what the planets are doing. When you're doing newsletters heavy every month, you have your nose to the grindstone, and you can really see what's happening. But my focus is going more towards video. Anyhow, I'll try to make it brief for people, and people may have heard some of these things before. I write my own free newsletter, which you can sign up on the website StarSelf. I also write at least monthly for OM Times. .com and for other astrological issues too. I don't want to bore people, but yet I've got to get people to have a background. And for a background, you cannot teach people what's going on now until they appreciate the fact that Pluto went into Capricorn in January of 2008.
Right.
And Pluto had been 13 years in the sign of Sagittarius, and Pluto is always very heavy, whether you call it a planet or not. It's always very heavy as it represents death and rebirth. But when it went into Capricorn in 2008, scheduled to stay till 2023, Capricorn is what in our world? It is the things that are held up by pillars, our institutions, our government, our Supreme Court, our schools, our Penn States, our Boy Scouts, our Catholic Church. So you notice any common trend there. It's not that Pluto came by during those years, these past five. It's Wall Street. Can't you visualize all these pillars sticking up and falling down, some of them? Well, not that Pluto came by, let's start crushing your buildings and your institutions. It's that it came and it found that the institutions, many of them, are corrupt. And Pluto's job, unlike the other planets, its job is to investigate. And when you've got Pluto investigating you, I would say it's very close to an IRS audit. Because Pluto is very simple. It investigates to see what you're made of. And you cannot hide. You cannot put on other clothes. You cannot run because it happens internally. Now, I just got done dealing with a baseball coach out of California, reading for him. This guy's got Pluto all over him, and everything is going great. I mean, his sun, moon, Venus, everything being hit by Pluto. And the reason it's going great, because he's doing well. He's picking them up, putting them down. He's responsible for his life. He's much like that Molly character in your book, which was just wonderful. You know, you're going to have your troubles. You're going to have your tears. But you pick them up and you put them down and you face life and you go after it. That's why this guy was going through all these good times. And that's why, the planets actually help you. And that's why you cannot read these checkout articles in these magazines that tell you it's going to be a bad month, going to be a good month. It's nonsense. It's an energy, and this guy's using the energy to sail further down the river, and he's doing great, while other people are just falling apart. So some people are doing great, getting stronger. Some people are falling apart. As Pluto approaches the sun of the United States chart, I think you can see very clearly that our illusions of what we used to be are being destroyed, being replaced by the truth. Who are we really? And that's why it's painful. It's not here to hurt us. It's here to say, look, I've cut you open and I've found some diseased organs and we need to take care of your illness. Does that make any sense?
Oh, beautifully explained, yes. And I have found that Pluto is really, it's about claiming your personal power. How are you using it? Are you taking responsibility?
Yeah.
And so this client you just described is a wonderful example of how when you are doing that, the planets are absolutely helping you and supporting you, and they're on your side. And that's just a perception thing as well that a lot of people have that I find false. Nothing is working against you. It's just following what you're choosing.
Now, what people can do to read further is on my website now, I have an index to my past 90 newsletters, and you can go look at the words, just like an index in a book, and click and get the proper newsletter. The reason I say that one of the newsletters is about Pluto being on your side.
Yes.
So the beautiful thing about the planets is you cannot BS them. You just cannot do it because they are the real archetypes, and if you're not familiar with that word, archetypes are Plato's forms. They are the actual forms of energy and structure that come from God or from the divine, from nature, whatever you want to call it. But anyhow, here's what I found, Molly. You know that vision, Pluto has been hitting us, then backing off, and then hitting us, and then backing off. It's been going on for 5 years. It's going to continue for at least two more, compounded by the fact that Pluto is at a right angle traveling with Uranus. If you draw a right angle from Pluto, you find Uranus. These two planets traveling together are like, I don't even know what you would call them. They're just both very explosive. Well, they're not here to destroy us either, but they're combined. You know, let's just say if something needs to be shook up or destroyed or replaced, these two are the ones to do it, and that's why it's happening. And, you know, the United States, and like any country, the United States being a cancer country, the 4th of July, cancers want what? Number one, emotional security. Well, when those towers got hit, that showed us that Canada, Mexico, Atlantic, Pacific, we're not buffered anymore, and a cancer has to be buffered. Cancer energy archetype has to be buffered, usually by the family. Canada, Mexico, Pacific, Atlantic. Boy, we were buffered till jets ran into those buildings, and it showed us that we're not as safe as we thought, and which was good in a way. I mean, God bless the people who perished, of course. But it showed us that we're vulnerable because of the way we're treating the world, the way we're treating ourselves, etc. But what I'm getting to is, and I've written a lot about it in these articles, Pluto spikes, and then it goes quiet for a few months, and then it spikes. And most people take that rest period to hide and rest, but that's not what you need to do. What you need to do is repair, fix yourself, get some schooling, get some meditation, get some psychological treatment, whatever it is to strengthen your life, because the next time Pluto comes, it's harder. So I had this vision, Molly, of, you've seen these fireman shows where they're busting down the door with these great big logs or spikes.
Sure.
They jam your door with it. Well, when Pluto comes back months later, it hits it again, and the splintering is bigger. Then it comes back months later, and it's even bigger. Well, these are all messages and warnings to get yourself together. Pluto is, as I wrote on Facebook, things you know are dead in your life, but you still hold on to them. Boyfriend, your marriage,
yep.
Your kid,
right.
Your dog, your Norman Bates, your pottery, your books, your habits, the club you belong to, friendships, that's a real big one. So each time Pluto comes back, the damage is greater. So if you turn it around, like our baseball coach, you start working with it, Pluto brings you these powerful people to help you. It brings you money. It brings you sponsors. It puts you on Blog Talk. It puts you on magazines. It helps you. But Pluto has one thing in mind. It wants you to be courageous. If you hide from it, it will slam into you real good. And now what I found, Molly, beside all this, is the little sleeper. It's been going on for over a year, and there's no sleeper whatsoever.
Yes.
Mr. Saturn is in Scorpio. And he's
this is
been
a big
hitting
deal.
Yes, it's one big deal, because Saturn in Scorpio, if it was just happening by itself, we would really be feeling it. But we're really feeling the Pluto-Uranus. And on the other hand, we're feeling the blissful. We're going to talk about the positive energies of Neptune and Chiron. And behind the scenes of those four planets is Mr. Saturn in Scorpio. And you know what he's doing? He's shoving people over the edge. He's saying to the baseball player, okay, here's a bigger team for you to coach. Congratulations. To the one that keeps hiding, he says, no more, no more support. You're alienated. You're getting sick, whatever. But Pluto's job, I hate to say this, Pluto is the garbage man. And
yes.
What happens in New York City if you don't take the garbage out?
Oh, it starts to stink.
It stinks. It backs up. You wouldn't believe how many people during Pluto transits have problems with their sewage. Their pipes go bad. They drop their toothbrush in the toilet. I mean, it's unbelievable, this seam. They have cracks in the walls in their basements. You know, it's a scary subject, and it's meant to be scary because Pluto's can be ruthless, and what it says is, why are you taking up space? It's the voice of Charles Bronson and Richard Burton, if you want to get an idea by a popular star. These people don't just slack by. They only respect power and courage. So you can either become stronger, and I just got a wonderful message from a woman I've been dealing with. She's even mentioned in the book. And she just was losing her property. She was losing her man. She was down and out and crying. I mean, things were devastating. I took her to the side, gave her a long reading to show how it was her holding on to old junk. Stuff people told her in grade school, stuff her daddy told her. You know, you believe, I'm a bad person. Well, I just got a message finally for her, and I was so happy. She just said, I tossed the boulders out of the way. I'm going downstream, and there's no stopping me. She's on top of the world now. But the fact is, she got her head rubbed up against those boulders for several months until she got the message. People know what we're talking about, Molly.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are great examples, because we do want to hear those real-life situations. And I know Pluto very well. In fact, my book is about a Pluto transit, essentially, when Pluto went over my ascendant, letting go of one dream so that a new one can arrive. It's transformation. You can't fight it, but it does lead you to a better place if you can be in that intention of transformation and letting go and all these other themes you've touched on.
Well, let me tell your listeners, if you have not read Molly's book, put a belt around your head, Molly, because it's going to get real big. Molly's book is just, it is just marvelous. It's about a young girl that goes to Europe, but she's so human, and she's so American, and she's so full of life, like a good Aries should be. But she has strong Pluto, and she goes, and she's got so much courage and confidence, and she just like a typical Aries. No red light, no brake pedal, no rear view mirror. Let's go. She just goes, and she has her ups and downs, and she gets deceived, but she faces things, and she has some terrible downs, but mostly she has these wonderful ups because she's courageous. So you could think of Pluto like you're out there surfing, and all of a sudden here comes a big wave. What astrology is I will tell you what the wave looks like. I will tell you when it's coming, but I have no idea what you're going to do with it. And that's what separates good astrologers from the bad. And if you get on there and you try and you fumble and get beat up and you're trying, this planet will not hurt you. You may have some minor bruises, but it will help you and you'll become a stronger surfer. But if you duck your head and try to go under the sand, like many people do, well, you get real beat up. So anyhow, that is the main theme that's going on in our government. And in the government, the Pluto square Uranus is much more than that. And then I just had an extra special glance at the Republican chart. I don't have a valid Democratic chart because nobody knows when the Democratic chart started, but we do the Republicans. The Republicans are going to have a Neptune return in 5 years. And the Republican party's in a lot of danger. And what a Neptune return means is, if you're tempted to, it's all about, are you going to go with God's spirit? Are you going to do what's natural, like the Indian philosophy, the Western Indian and the Eastern Indian? Are you going to go with what's best for the planet? Are you going to try smoke and mirrors? Are you going to try governing behind your back? If you do, you're going down, you're going to fall apart. And I think we can all see what's going on. The Republican Party has the potential to completely turn themselves around by giving in and by doing, quote-unquote, God's will, by really thinking of the people instead of the corporations, whatever it is. But if they don't correct it, they're not going to last because you can't fight Neptune. You just can't.
Surrender.
Surrender is the word. But it's not surrender like the ego thinks it is. That's
right.
Why they're at the last minute of this stuff with the continuing resolution and all that. They see surrender as failure. But it's not. It's letting God take over. But they've got 5 years of warning, and I don't know the Democrats' chart. The Democrats have their difficulties too, but that's another thing that's happening. But the big thing people need to understand is this, and this is all in my videos. You can go to YouTube and type in my name. And the first 11 videos were taken during one lecture, and then there's a 12th video that deals with Uranus and the stages of life. But in those 11 videos, it talks about the fact that Uranus and Pluto were together in October of 1965. Uranus and Pluto, when two planets align, they promised their new birth, and they were in the sign of Virgo. I have hundreds of clients that have Uranus and Pluto together in Virgo because they were all born during the 60s. Well, look what happened during the 60s. These two revolutionary planets. I don't have to tell you. But the point is, during that time, it worked through the Virgo president, LBJ. We got Medicare. We got Medicaid. We got black rights, we got women's rights, we got student rights. we got all this stuff. Well, 47 years later, what do you know? Uranus and Pluto started together. When planets get to the opening square and they're at a right angle to each other, I don't care if it's thousands of years, when it gets to the opening square, the planets test themselves. And the planets are saying, well, Molly, you Earthlings, let's take a test here. How well have you been doing? What's going on now? How well have you been doing with your black rights, with your women's rights, with your civil rights, with your voting rights? Why do you think all this stuff's up in the air now? And this is what we're doing. We're fighting about it, and we're showing that we've been pretty much a failure collectively as a country. And there are a lot of voices trying to fight it, but don't you see other examples of this, Molly, in your world?
Yes, yes. People are really questioning their own foundations. They're looking at where they have given their power away. As you described at the top of the show, Rick, it's these pillars that are falling. You know, we've seen that we've given power, whether consciously or unconsciously, to a lot of organizations and leaders and authority figures and governments. And is it really working for us? Is it really supporting everybody? Because, as you know, Neptune wants that.
How good was your promise, Molly? You promised me Medicaid. You promised me Social Security. You promised me Medicare. How good was that promise? Well, we're seeing a lot of people go to great lengths to try to break the promise, whatever. Anyway, I'm not going to get political. I wanted to give the basis of it for people. But that's the main reason why. Throw on top of that Saturn and Scorpio, and you have to realize that the Uranus and Pluto inside yourself, go back to 1965 in your life. If you're older, go back and see what you birthed in 1965. Those very ideals that you birthed are being challenged now. And they will not be, they won't go away until the Uranus-Pluto squares itself seven times. The fourth one's coming up November 1st, I believe. Yeah, the fourth one is November 1st, and then we go all the way into March of 2015 before we're done. But anyhow, the thing is, if you look at a seesaw, you've got all this destruction going on, and you've got all this uncovering of all this corruption, let alone talk about the Fed, etc. But on the other side, I really believe that Spirit knows we're going through trouble. And I mean people watching us, aliens, I mean God, I mean gods, I mean angels. I don't know what you want to call them. I'm not an expert in those fields, and there are people who are. And these people were right about the Mayan calendar coming to an end and about the shift, and they were exactly right. And I hate to admit it because it sounded so kooky to this Capricorn.
Yep.
And what Neptune and Chiron are doing in Pisces, I cannot tell you. People come in my office and take a number, and they quit their job, and they want to be an energy worker. Everybody wants to quit their job, be an energy worker. People are feeling this Neptune so strongly, which is enough of this stuff. Let's heal everybody. And the Chiron is so strong. Chiron is an energy for you folks that has to do with biting the bullet, facing your wounds, healing yourself. But it's very strong in the charts of people who are healers. So I don't know about you, but 2-3 years ago, people were, oh, I don't want to give up my insurance and my good job. I'd like to do this. Now they're saying, I don't care what happens. I've got to do my mission. I've got to do my mission. And in my new book, The Exquisite Zodiac, I took a lot of heat. But I just don't believe anymore that Mercury is the ruler of Virgo. I never did. And I'm proposing. I can't do it myself. It has to prove itself in time. But I'm proposing that Chiron is the ruler of Virgos. Because Chiron is your purpose. And the word I did in Virgos in the book is I pretty much took out the word perfectionist and I replaced it with two words, caring and purity. If you think about the Virgos you know, you look at their pure complexion, these people care whether they're making a wooden desk. Half the nurses in the world are Virgos.
Yep.
What do you find? These people care. They're purists.
And they really want to serve and be of
yes.
service, to be useful,
yes.
to be put
yes.
to work. And so
right.
that is really such a beautiful energy. It comes from a very pure place. I liked what
right.
you said in the book about the description of each sign, not just Virgo, but it really rings true, Rick, because we need to see these qualities in the people in our lives. They're not just these things out there. We're really in touch with people
that's
who
right.
are caring. You know, you probably know a nurse, you know a doctor, you know a
that's
physical
right.
therapist or a nutritionist, and they are embodying that beautiful Virgo energy.
And they don't want any credit. As a matter of fact, they're very bad about taking credit. And one of the reasons is because they're adjacent to the sign of Leo. And that's the other part of the book. The book is how one sign outgrows itself and moves into a whole different way of being. And that tension between Virgo and Leo is very strong because Leo, as you know, needs the feedback. It needs the limelight because it's proving itself as a young soul. And Virgo has been there, done that, and it doesn't want any. You know?
Right.
So that's one of the things that's beautiful about the book, because it weaves all 12 signs together. But anyhow, so you've got this seesaw of this Uranus-Pluto, add to that Saturn and Scorpio, which is very heavy. And what you know what Saturn and Scorpio is doing? Here's what I'm really noticing. I don't read books. I watch people. That's how I learn astrology. Saturn in Scorpio is, I can't tell you how many people I've told this in the last 2 months. Just let that other person go. There's no more you can do for that person. You've done
yes.
everything. Everybody's done everything. You've got to let them go. In other words, you got to let them hit bottom. And for some, it's death. And for others, you hit bottom and you get bruised up, and like Ram Dass says, when you get enough bruising, you go, oh, this hurts. I don't want this. I think I'll get on my path. That's what
yes.
Saturn in Scorpio is doing.
And you
now,
can't lie to yourself either. And I think that's
no.
part of what Saturn in Scorpio
yes.
is revealing. It's revealing
yes.
the truth of who you are
yes.
and stop trying to be anything that you're not, because it's not going to work.
That's so beautifully said, Molly, and your book shows it so much. And what's happening is we've been lying to ourselves as a collective nation. And that's where we've been hurt. I mean, in one way of speaking, it's so wonderful that we won World War II, but it's the worst thing that ever happened to us. Because we came out of it so cocky. Hey, we'll tell you what to do with Austria. We'll tell the Japanese what to do. We're in charge. We got 135 bases around the country, around the world. We still think it's nothing to say, hey, we're the best country in the world. We're not the best country in the world.
No.
These are our brothers and sisters. So this kind of national arrogance, we're paying the price, and that's why some of these other countries aren't too fond of us. I mean, we have a great country, there's no doubt, but we, as we all know, we need to start putting our hands out and really exchanging with others. But you've been to Europe for a long time. I mean, Europe voted, the European Union voted the most dangerous country in the world is the U.S. of A.
And I think that Pluto in Capricorn and Saturn in Scorpio, again, to reiterate these themes, are bringing forward even consequences. Well, if you're going to put yourself
yes.
on the top of the mountain,
that's
how
right.
long do you think you're going to be able to sit there without feeling mm-hmm. more from others everywhere? And
right.
you know, it's going to be fascinating over the next few years here, Rick, to see what some of those consequences are. And that's a word I've actually been hearing in many of my sessions with clients who
right.
are having to release relationships. You know, if the energies don't match, you can't force it,
right.
and you have to
that's
allow
right.
every person to be on their path. And that's what's also happening on the global scale with international relations.
Well, 2015, Pluto is going to be opposite the United States Sun. In the United States, that means in astrology, it's coming from the seventh house. And the seventh house is open enemies, which means the people that don't like us are going to be taking action against us. But we have a choice. We don't have to let this happen. We have a choice by sincerely trying to be more of a citizen instead of, we'll take your wheat from you, we'll give you an embargo. We can't shake hands with the fist in the other hand. You know, we have to really become players here. And being a cancer entity, as we are, it's tough to be, but thank God we have a moon in Aquarius for the country, which helps us, which is symbolized by that Statue of Liberty. So we have every reason to think that we can be victorious. The wonderful thing happened through Pluto and Sag, when Pluto went through Sagittarius and gave us this phenomenal thing called the Internet. Now, within seconds, we're talking to people. You can't buffalo them anymore. You just can't lie. It's out. The truth is out in minutes. You know, so that's a beautiful thing. We're meeting each other. And we're seeing that the Chinese and the Iran and the Australian, we're all the same people. We're all the same. That's why your show is so critical. So that's what's stirring with people. They got the Pluto Uranus stirring inside themselves, and things you said are so true. You're so self-honest. I mean, I even wrote your review and called you brutally honest, because you just don't mess around, and that's the Pluto in your chart.
No, I don't mess around, and I think that's what's needed right now. I think that's that's what people want, and they're finding that courage to be that way, because when you have 100% self-acceptance, you're golden. You're made. It doesn't matter what you share, because already loving yourself at that highest possible place. And that's what you just said, Rick, was so spot on, is that we're seeing how connected we are to other people, but how we have similarities, how we're, you know, it isn't about any boundaries out there. All these false boundaries we've created to keep ourselves safe. Understanding that, you know, when you rise above it, you're already safe. You're already connected. You're already God.
That's right. They worked during the naive 50s with Leave It to Beaver, but they don't work anymore. That's exactly right. And that's why my girl and I were on the next book already, which is going to be called The Intimate Zodiac, which is about how intimate these energies are. They're really inside you. And I keep saying on your show every time when we say to people, what got into you, Molly? What came over you recently? Those are the planets. People can't believe it, but those are the planetary energies, and I don't think they're heebie-jeebie waves from Planet X. They don't work that way. They work more through an archetypal quantum method. I like heebie-jeebie. It describes things.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's heebie-jeebie stuff. But anyhow, the quantum world is here to stay as of January of 2011. And I described that on the videos, too, on YouTube. And the Newtonian world of A, B, C, like dominoes, that world is just out to lunch. It doesn't work anymore. And the world of quantum physics, where A goes to C, but it never goes through B, is here. And it's going to shake us up. And there's a marvelous new book by Amit Goswami, Goswami. He's a wonderful Hindu physicist. Teaches in America. He was featured heavily in the movie What the Bleep. He's got a new book called The Quantum Activist. He shows you how we've got to adopt a new quantum mentality. He mixes quantum physics with sociology. How we got to start behaving in a quantum world. For example, in a Newtonian world, there's only so many potatoes. We got to fight over them. You know?
Yep.
That's a world of lack. And in the quantum world, there's enough for everybody. So I highly recommend that book. It's beautiful.
That's a great recommendation. I'm going to check that out. You said, what's it called again?
It's called The Quantum Activist by Goswami.
Okay,
his last name. Goswami. He's marvelous. He can be seen on YouTube, too. He's just brilliant Hindu. But he's so excited because he really, he sees it as this is the savior for the planet. I mean, he's talking doom and gloom too, but, you know, by adjusting to this thought, you know, as of January 11, the quantum world shifted, and it became household word. It became, this was our new basis. I felt it when it happened. I wrote about it. I talked about it. I even called. I wrote to the famous astrologer, Richard Tarnas. Tarnas did not believe me. He didn't think it was that significant. And lo and behold, this is one of the few things I disagree with him about. But it really did shift. And as you know, everything you hear now is quantum.
It's true. And it can really mess with our little mini human brains because we can't fully get how huge the quantum energy is. You know, it's really outside of our realm of experience. But I feel that is also what the Mayans predicted, and I feel that is what we are moving towards globally. That's the awakening. That's the shift. That's all this new energy around consciousness that's coming in, is that we're getting it, right? We're getting it that we're so much bigger than our human bodies and our human brains and what we touch and feel.
Well, exactly. And old Ram Dass, the old timer, is 84 now. He mentioned it in his book in the 60s. He said that when Jesus mentioned, you could, if ye had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. Well, he analyzed that, and Ram Dass said, the way that happens is you become the mountain and you move. So, I mean, this is not just parable anymore. We are finding out that time and space are illusions. There are no such things as, there is no such thing as matter. All matter is it's all intention and thought. In my book, I call it, I stole mine from Castaneda. I admit it. a tremor in the air. I think it's the most beautiful phrase. In the beginning, there was a tremor in the air, which means there's this nothingness, and none of us can figure out how we came from the unmanifest nothingness into this educated, intelligent somethingness. And it was God wanting to be so bad. He just wanted to be. He was a tremor in the air, and that's, wouldn't that give you chills up your back? That's what gave us Aries.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Right. Yes,
an Aries. Aries people, they're not selfish. They can be. Aries people, they want to exist. They want to experience. Wow, I'm here. Look at me. I'm doing this. Wow, I actually exist. And the rest of the zodiac gets lost in increasing complexity. By the time you're an Aquarian, oh, my God, 11th sign. You got so much complexity in you, you don't even notice your Aries anymore, which is why every spring, why all of us go through a refreshing time, because we re-feel that virgin tremor in the air, that initial prompting, you know, just the beauty of being. I tell you what I have learned. I have learned this. There are so many phenomenal writers who are Aries sun with a lot of Pisces in them. We're talking about Joseph Campbell. We're talking about Ram Dass. We're talking about James Hillman. And you don't see it with the Tauruses. With the Gemini, the only one I found so far is David Hawkins. But the Aries themselves, what they have is this fearless, they don't have any understanding of blockages. They only understand, let's go. Let's go. And you can see it with James Hillman, and you can see it with Joseph Campbell, who they just dive into these archetypes. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Plato weren't an Aries too. But they have the Neptune in their chart that gives them the ability to just grok everything. So they can fuse the two energies. So I think I'm really on to something there. There's something very special about our Aries Pisces.
That's what, yeah,
you're,
I can
see
that.
You're one of them, too.
True,
you're one of them
I am.
Too.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
And,
yes, April Mollis.
something you mentioned, or we briefly touched on, was the Uranus and Aries energy, and that is one of your wonderful YouTube videos, is that you explain the different Uranian energies that come through at different points in our lives, at different intersections. Could you elaborate on that for people who maybe haven't seen that video yet? Because I think that's really important right now, is understanding that Uranus is helping us break out of anything that isn't us.
Yes, well, on May 27th of 2010, Uranus finished the zodiac after 84 years, and it crossed into Aries. Almost to the day, we lost Pope John Paul because he was representative of putting the old zodiac to bed. But as in any age, every 84 years, Uranus starts over in Aries, and Uranus is this radical, enlivening, chaotic energy. And when it entered Aries, you had your Egyptian Arab Spring, you had Tunisia, you had all across the world all these people who became ready. That's the middle name for Uranus, ready. Ready to revolt, ready to uprise. Look at this girl, all the press she's getting now coming out of Pakistan, the beautiful story of the young girl that was shot and the spirit that's in her. Well, I did a special video. It's the 12th one on my channel. Uranus spends 84 years going around a circle, and it's pretty mathematical. So at age 21, it's one-fourth of the way. At age 42, it's halfway. At age 63, it's three-quarters of the way. And I explained in the video that's why you have at age 21 this need to get away from the family. You want to go out and do your thing. I can go drinking now, and I can drink and drive. It's a real bad idea. But it's independence, and Uranus is all about independence, becoming me. And then it comes around at age 42, and we know that as the midlife crisis. And if you abuse that energy, then you, instead of seeing yourself, remember Uranus's question is always, how free am I? Well, if you abuse that energy at any of these ages, but especially at 42, then you blame your wife or your kids. If it wasn't for that family, if it wasn't for that mortgage, if she were better in the kitchen, I wouldn't have to go get a younger girl. And you see all these guys going out, buying motorcycles, going Route 66, and trying to recover their youth. Well, what's really, I mean, there's nothing wrong with going Route 66, but what really is going on is you've lost your own youth inside yourself. That's where the blockage is. That's where you need to recover. I don't even call myself an astrologer anymore. I'm an unblocker, Molly. I'm an unblocker.
You are.
Where are you blocked?
Shower.
Let's get that block out of there, because your body and mine knows what to do. So when I approach my clients with this great big shovel, they get scared.
Right.
No.
Yep.
And then
yep.
You see. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I find, too, that there's a lot of people I've noticed who go into self-judgment around what they have or have not done because they just didn't realize perhaps that there's so much more than what they've known before. I'm just seeing that as a continual theme right now. It's quite fascinating.
Well, it's, you know, most people, they can't shake a stick at Molly because, I mean, you get up and you go across the country, you just do it. You're just so adventurous, and that's the middle name of Aries, you know. Other people aren't like that. Other people want their safety zone. Other people want their security. Other people want their partner. Aries want adventure. You know, they want adventure. And when you get to 63, it's another midlife crisis. Some people do their bucket list. I'm 61 right now. And I'm under Uranus, square Uranus. And you see in your life, well, what did I do? What did I do? You know, if you're honest about it, you find out, where did I block it? Where was I a chicken? Where was I not having enough faith? Yeah, maybe my mom did this, or maybe my parents didn't have the money, or maybe I had this bad leg or whatever. But the proper way to use a Uranus cycle is to look at yourself and and see where you're blocked. The sad ones come in my office are the ones that I talk about where they're blocked, and they tell me they don't know. That's the tough ones, because you got to get to work with your mining tools till you can figure it out. And astrologically, those are the people with strong Neptune traits. Anybody in my office that plays the I don't know game with me, I'll just tell them, you don't tell me that, you do know. But if they have strong I don't knows and they have strong Neptunes, then they're right. They just don't know, because Neptune's the opposite of Aries. You know, it doesn't itemize it. It generalizes everything. So all in all, I should summarize some of this. While we are going through this tough time, and there's one of the things I'm screaming out on Facebook and in my newsletters, people need to speak up. People need to speak up and quit worrying about, you know, so many young readers come to me, the old man, and I tell them what somebody told me to help me years ago. Just open your mouth and talk. Don't worry, you can't say anything wrong. When you got a radio show, you got to watch what you're saying. But I just talk. I hardly get in any trouble with my clients because they know I'm trying to help them. If you're a young reader, don't hassle yourself whether you're following the rule book and saying the right thing. Speak from your heart. You're trying to help the other person, and it'll all work out.
Yes, that is great advice, Rick. Yeah, and that's part of this confidence building as well that's happening, because, as you said, a lot of people want to be an energy worker. They want to be a light worker. They want to do something new, something different. And to follow that path, you do need to have confidence in yourself, in your own abilities, and really trust that you will do it. And that is part of the Neptune energy right there, is that trust.
There's no doubt about it. You know, God is the same old God. If I could get a little bit evangelistic, you know, it's not that our prophets 2,000 years ago were any different than today. I mean, they all have their place, the good ones and the bad ones, and there are an awful lot of bad ones out there. Be very cautious of your psychics. There really are a lot of bad ones, and don't be blinded. There are good ones, too. And you can tell by using your heart. How do you tell? You use their heart. Are they really trying to help me? Are they really trying to understand me? Do they really love me? If they don't, get out. Leave. Get your money back. Go. You can tell. You can tell.
Yep, you can. And you have to be
It is the greatest job. I'm sorry. It is the greatest job in the world to be a reader, because at the end of the day, if I can help you get in touch with your inner self or your divine inside, you, then I've done my job, and I don't even want to see you again. You know, I'm just so happy. I'm sure you do the same thing.
Yep. In fact, it reminds me of my acupuncturist, who says that in her business, people are well after 2 or 3 sessions, and she never sees them again, which might
That's
not
right.
be the best business model, but it is a heart-centered, honest place.
Yeah.
Because you also know that there's more people who will come to you. There's always
That's
more
right.
people to assist.
Yeah.
And you've sent people on your ways. It's amazing, Rick. Your astrology sessions, you know, people can have a flip, you know, a flip happens. They change.
Yeah.
And you leave knowing yourself better and potentially with a new lease on life, because when you know yourself better, you're unstoppable.
Well, I commonly have 2, 3, 4 people a week, their life changes. You know, I'm blessed or something. I don't know what it is. God sends me people, and I'm very appreciative to be in the field. You know, my first 20 years I spent a lot of, I don't know what this means. I don't know. I mean, astrology is very, very hard, very, very hard. And I had to be honest and say, look, I see this, I know that, but I don't know what that means. And I tell my students, you got to go years and years and years and be willing to be wrong and open your mouth and give it your best. But after a while, you're just not wrong anymore. You just start to know, and that's a wonderful feeling. But the point is, and I think it's so great about your show, is we all got these things. You know, some people can do it through psychometry. Rare people can do astrology. Some people can do it through psychology, through touch. But everybody's wanting to do it now because the Chiron influence upon the collective. And just that little phrase you used a minute ago has to go. Best practices and all that. You know, that Newtonian kind of world mindset has to go. These people have come up to me and said, well, these are the best ways you should use to sell your book. Well, I'm not interested. My best way is somebody reads it, it turns their life on, they give it to their friend, then it sells. Hey, that's the way to do it, I think. And I think that's what Goswami's talking about with the quantum activist.
And that's that surrender and trust component where you know that something bigger is happening behind the scenes as well as through you. And so you don't have to micromanage marketing or force it down people's throats.
That's
we've done that. Humanity knows that very well.
Right. And you are seeing the epitome of that in Washington, D.C. right now. Absolutely gridlocked with hundreds of people and their arms are crossed across their chest. I'm not budging. Well, I'm not budging. They're at the end of the rope. You know, and then they try to spin it this way and spin it that way. And the Americans know it's all lies. You know, we're at the end of that rope. We have to, and that's what he means by the quantum activist. So, you know, I do encourage people to look that up. Also, the wonderful book by Charles Eisenstein called Sacred Economics. That will blow your mind. Sacred Economics. This young, brilliant man, Charles Eisenstein, has written a book about a gift economy. He shows you in great detail about how these old economies don't work. And the one that does work is when you give it all away. So it came to me one night, I'm going to be giving the exquisite Zodiac away on YouTube. You can still buy the book or Kindle, but I'm going to go chapter by chapter. I'm not going to go every word, but I'm going to film about maybe 20, 30 different episodes. This is chapter one. This is Aries. This is chapter two. This is Taurus. And I'm going to put it on YouTube explaining what's in the book and give it away. And when I brought that idea up in my mind, I just, you know, you have mental voices. All my mental voices just went, yes. And there was no arguing, which was unbelievable.
That's a celebration. That's perfect. And that is, again, that Neptune and Pisces and Chiron and Pisces energy of it's for everyone, and you give it, and there's enough for everyone.
Yeah, there's enough for everyone. And, you know, it is hard to make that leap that God talks about, that I know what you need even before you need it. You know, it is hard to make that leap. It's the basis of A Course in Miracles, too. But it's true, and it works, and that's why, while we're relatively young at this game, we need the Molly show and the Rick show, and we need everybody else's show, because I guarantee you got a lot of people listening that have their own talents, too. You know?
Yes, absolutely. Everybody. Yep. It's time for everyone to follow
what is
really them and to do it, to go for it.
And that's your Molly talking there. Go up and do it, you know. You don't talk to an Aries about your brake pedal. You talk to him about your, what kind of gas could I get that's better? That's why I love working with you. We just put the gas down. We just say it like it is, you know. We may have said a couple words improperly, but people got the message. And it really is exciting. And that seesaw that's going, that other side is so strong, the healing side. That's why I can't literally say, is the U.S. dying or not? I can't say. We know what the planet's going through. But I can definitely say that seesaw is going to start working back and forth, and it's going to be greatly energized. And we gave you a general description of both ends, I think.
It's beautifully
Yay
said.
Yay for Molly.
Yay for Molly. Rick. Is there anything else, Rick, you'd like to leave us with as our time is up? The hour flew by.
Yeah, and you shared so much. One thing I would like to say to people is don't be afraid to speak up. I'm sure a lot of people get into political tensions in the family, and you know, they're very awkward situations. don't be afraid to speak up, because if you have love in your heart for your family and people next to you, because a lot of the media is really trying to separate us, and the chasm is getting bigger. And we can't let it happen. So they have more commercials. We can't let it happen. You know, and there's so many movements afoot. Get involved. Get involved. Write a newsletter. Go get your own blog talk show. Do it.
It's
Molly
time
did
to
it.
Do it. Yep. Yep, I've been doing
how
it
did
for
you
over
do,
a year
how did
now,
you do,
and I love it.
How did you do it? How did you do it?
Well, I thought about it for a while, and then when Jupiter went into Gemini, it was time.
Uh-huh.
And it's something that I love and I enjoy, and actually I start to do these podcasts more often than I want to write on my blog, because I can talk and get things out there faster than writing sometimes. But it's just something that, you know, I started doing it and figured it out as I went, and lots of amazing things have happened because of it. So, yes, if you want to do a blog talk show, do it. It's time.
Well,
it's here.
You're very good. You're very good. I did radio for years, and you're very good at it, and one of the reasons is you're authentic. You're not just trying to make yourself look good. You're very real, and your audience knows it, and I thank you so much for having me and my big mouth on once again.
I love it. I love it. I appreciate you, Rick. You're doing such good work in the world, and I want people to know that they can keep up with you on your Facebook page. There's also a Facebook page for The Exquisite Zodiac. Quick plug, I love that book. I have it on my Kindle. It's one that I have read more than once. It's one of those books that you might want to reference a few times as well, and it's great, and I look forward to what you create next.
On Facebook, just to remind people in case they're from the Akron area, my girl and I will be featured speakers November 9th and 10th. I forget the name of the place, but it's on my Facebook. It's on a Saturday, Sunday, November 9th and 10th. We will be talking about all this, selling the books, signing the books, and all that. So it's great fun, and I wish everybody the opportunity that if they feel stuck in their work, to at least find a way to do it in the evening. Start doing what you love, because I waited 20 years before I went full-time at this, and it's a different age now. And your message is needed. We need everybody's message. No, the old work doesn't work. The old world doesn't work anymore. We need this message out there to everybody. Amen.
Amen. And on that note, we will finish today's wonderful episode. Thanks, everybody, for being here and tuning in. Catch the next live broadcast next Wednesday. And connect with Rick on his website, starself.com. Thanks again, Rick. Take good care.
Hey, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.